Praise the Lord. Amen. We just move things around here, you know. It's almost like moving the furniture. You never know who's going to be preaching to you, who's going to be ministering to you. All you know is the Holy Ghost is ready to share with you. Amen. You happy to hear the Holy Ghost? Amen. Is this thing running? Okay, good. All right. Praise the Lord. Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving. We love you with all of our heart. Let's lift our hands and thank you. Father, we just love you with all of our heart. We just declare it. Everybody just praise Him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we're ready for the Word of God. We're ready to hear your promises. We're ready to be set free because our hearts are prepared. We've already been born from above, most of us. We've been born from above, and we're receiving now the bread of life, the good Word of God, which is able to save our souls, the engrafted Word, which is able to transform us and change us from one degree of glory to the next, because in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it tells us that we're looking into the perfect law of liberty and we're changed by that perfect law of liberty from glory to glory. So we give you praise and we have a great expectation to be set free again today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to encourage yourself in the Lord, isn't it? Amen. It's good. You know, you need to practice that. You need to practice encouraging yourself in the Lord. I just love to do that because otherwise I'd, you know, look around me and I'd get depressed or something, you know, and that wouldn't be fun. And I'm not into that. So, you know, if you're not into depression, you should need to be into the Word of God. Amen? You need to be into His promises. Because the enemy will come along and he'll try to make hay out of your bad day. Amen? Won't he? He'll just try to make the best, his best out of a bad day. He just wants to tear you up, knock you down, and beat you up, and then have you share that with somebody else. Amen. Amen. Isn't that funny? That everybody, I mean, it's like the corona. You know, you could go by and you could expose somebody else to your bad attitude. You could expose somebody else to your anger, your discombobulation with everything that's going on in the world. You know, it's tough. You know, it's tough. If you don't have Jesus, it's tough. You know, you could really be in trouble if you didn't have a Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. Because you have something that somebody else doesn't have. The world does not have this, but you do, and you can give it to them. It's exciting. It's praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Jim talked about the fact you got big sins. Of course you do. And you're a big mess. Well, good. That just leaves more room for God to come in and transform you and change you all by Himself without any help from you. Amen. You're just incapable, you know. Isn't that good to know? I'm just happy to know that I'm incapable. It's good to know before you start a project that it's not your project. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's some things I'm not even going to attempt. You know, my son's an electrician. I probably better not do that. I'd probably be dead. Amen. I probably couldn't be preaching to you. I'd probably be shocked up and gone a long time ago. You know, there are things that I just don't need to do. Praise the Lord. And some things you just certainly don't want me to do. Amen. I'm good. Glad to see my friends, Lewis and Sandra Johnson, here today. Oh, man, I hadn't seen y'all in at least a week. It's been a little while. Oh, man, I love you guys. It's so good to see you. It's so good to have you with us today. Amen. Amen. And I can see you because this thing is, yeah, I mean, we're socially distanced here. You know, this church never has any problem with social distancing. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. You just come here, yeah, don't have to do anything special. You squirt a little stuff on your hand and you'll be good. Amen. All you want to do is hear the Word of God. Well, let's turn over to, first of all, let's turn over to Psalm chapter 2. You know me, I might start out with one thing and end up with five or six others later. But it's important to open the Word. It's important to let the Word of God dwell in you richly. That means a lot. That means fill up the glass. That means I'll be all full. All full. Look at people racing for their Bibles. It's amazing. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Psalm 2 says this, and you've heard it before. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why would you think that would be? Why would the heathen rage, the heathen, that's the people who don't know God, and the people, who would that be? That'd probably be like you and me. That'd be like people who aren't convinced that the Word of God is true, or aren't convinced that the Word of God is bigger than their circumstance. Amen. You know, can you imagine Jesus' disciples walking around? I mean, you know, they were out on the water, you know, and here comes Jesus, and they think he's a ghost, you know, and all kinds of things. So the enemy comes in, and he's got all kinds of things to get your attention, you know, and everybody goes, "Oh, Jesus, look out." You know, there's a guy down there. They're going across the ocean, and they got in the boat, you know, they go across, and then there's this crazy guy down on over on the shore, and the people, the disciples are going, "Jesus, could we just go a little further? We know about that guy. We don't want to go meet that guy. That guy is not the guy we want to see. He's crazy." You know, well, God wants you to come meet crazy people. Did you know that? Because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. We said it this morning. You know, I believe in the Holy Ghost. Anybody say that? I believe in the Holy Ghost. I do. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And He's in me. And He's working in me that which is well-pleasing in His sight. So you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you have the opportunity to go into a situation that's less than desirable in the flesh, you know, you're not afraid of that situation. Now, I know you might be in the flesh. Your flesh may get a little jittery. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, I've done that. You know, the Holy Spirit would just send you in there, and you'll just go on in. You just go on in, and because He is going to show you what to do. He's going to show you what to say. Say, why do the heathen rage? And why do the people imagine a vain thing? The people imagine a vain thing because they don't have the living God on the inside of them, ruling. Now, some of them have the Holy Spirit, but born again, but they're not. But He's not ruling. He's not ruling because circumstances are bigger in their mind. Stuff that's going on in the world is bigger in your mind than the Word of God. Amen. That's true. So what you're wanting to do is, like 2 Corinthians 3:18 told us, is that looking into the perfect law of liberty. Law of liberty is the Word of God, the promise that Jesus took all of your sins and He's going to live on the inside of you and change you and transform you into His image. That's the promise, and that's why we're changed from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, from faith to faith, from first the corn, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. I mean, there is a progression of growth at everything. It has to do with you spending time in the Word of God and in His presence. And in His presence. I found myself praying in other tongues. Oh, did you want to say that on television? Praying in other tongues this morning on the way in here. Well, why? Why did I do that? Because He just moved on me to start doing that. He just moved on me to start praying in other tongues. The Scripture says that in 1 Corinthians 14 says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So it's something that the Holy Spirit has given to you. If any man pray in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays, but his understanding is unfruitful. So I'm praying in the, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mystery. Amen. Let any man who pray in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So he said, God, what did I just say? And he told me. Praise the Lord. Yeah, some people said, well, that's just strange. That's just weird. No, that's the Bible. That's the Word of God. And he's speaking to you. See, a lot of folks are just reading the Bible, which is great, reading the Bible, but and you get a lot of knowledge, get a lot of understanding. The Holy Spirit can use that and speak to you. He can speak to your heart. But the Holy Spirit is revealing things to you that you do not know. You remember over in John when Jesus was fixing to depart and he was talking to his disciples on the night of the dinner, night of the Last Supper, and he began to teach them about the Holy Spirit. He began to teach them that the Holy Spirit was going to come and he was going to be a comforter because Jesus was going to go away. And they were like, I don't know about this Holy Spirit thing. I want Jesus to stay around. After all, he is the King. And, you know, they still kind of had some idea that Jesus was just going to be around and he was going to, you know, eventually kind of take over. Well, that wasn't the plan. The plan of God was, first of all, we're going to deal with the real problem, which is your sins. And we're going to die. Jesus is going to die for your sins. And he's going to be raised up and he's going to come back and fill you with the Holy Spirit. And you're going to live in him and he's going to live in you. Now, so he says that. He says, now I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And he's going to reveal to you all things. He said, there are many things I want to share with Jesus. He said, there are many things I want to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Holy Spirit has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will take what's mine and He'll show it to you. Amen. So that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. You want a quick teaching on the Holy Spirit? That's what that was. But God is doing that in you. And why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? Because they're not being taught of the Lord. They're not being taught of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking to you people. I mean, you know, the few, those who come in and are here about every service, you know, and you're always looking to get filled with the Word of God because you guys are teachers. One thing the Lord said this morning, He said, you're teachers. You guys are teachers. By now you should be teachers. Been doing this for many, many years. And you're teachers. I want you to be confident in the fact that the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you and He's teaching you and He's giving you capacity, guy, to teach others. He's given you capacity to teach others. Why? By the Spirit that dwells in you. Well, I'm no good at that. No, it doesn't matter of whether you're no good at it. Is God good at it? Is God good at teaching? Amen. Is God good at picking teachers? Why, yes, He is. Well, what if He were to pick you? Well, I said His picker's broke. Amen. Praise God. I think Norman's a teacher, but Norman thinks God's picker's broke. Amen. Amen. God is loving you. He's blessing you. You are a teacher of the Word of God. Now, whether you're a stand-up at the front teacher, I don't know. But you're a teacher because you're sitting right next to your brother and your sister, and they have a need, and you're well, fully full of the Word of God to be able to carry that on. Now, you might be a teacher of the Word. You might be a stand-up, what I call a stand-up teacher, or a sit-down teacher, you know, maybe in the Scriptures, in the Bible, in a house church. You know, that may be you. Maybe you should go ahead and just step right up and allow the Holy Spirit to use you right there. Amen. Maybe you have a five-minute teaching. Yeah, I used to have five-minute teachings. You know what they turned into? Long ones. Y'all know that. Amen. You just start out. Just start out with little steps, all right? Start out with little steps. Just obey God. When God says say something, you open your mouth and you say it. Then when He says quit, you quit. Don't try to just carry on. Just say what He gives you to say. But, Lord, ask this question. Lord, show me what You want me to say. Lord, show me what You want me to say. Ask it before you get there, by the way. Ask it while you're driving. Amen. Ask Him while you're driving. Ask Him while you're in the shower. I get Him in the shower, y'all. Get Him in the shower. Does the Lord visit you in the shower? Said the Bible said they were naked and they were not ashamed. So, you know, God will meet you in the shower. He'll hand you a towel. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, first of all, the heathen hadn't heard the Word of God. How many times have the heathen need to hear the Word of God? You know God loves the heathen, doesn't He? He loves them. He loved you. He saved you. Well, I wasn't a heathen. I was raised in the church. I was the biggest heathen of all. Those who think what's the scripture say? Let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There was a sign in a house church one time, you know, right up on the thing. It was right before the step. So the context was messed up, but the illustration was right, you know. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So why do the heathen rage? Because they don't know the love of God. Why do you have an atheist? Why do you have an atheist, do you think? You know, I mean, an atheist is just somebody who's running from God. He's afraid. An atheist, if he cares enough or knows enough to say, I don't believe in God, if the word God comes out of his mouth, he's already got a problem with God. He's already got a problem with God because he's afraid. He's afraid of God. He doesn't want to have anything to do with God. I'm just kind of going out the door. I don't want to have anything to do with this God guy. Well, you don't know that He loves you. You don't know that His desire is for you to have everything. His desire is for you to have eternal life. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe there's a God. I think there's a big bang somewhere. Well, who made the bang? Who made the bang? Amen. Somebody made the bang. Somebody made something. I mean, and you're sitting here thinking about it. Where'd that come from? Amen. Boy, he gave you a big brain, you know, so you could think about, you know, what happened with the big bang. You know, God is coming by and snuggling up to you and revealing himself to you. Amen. And then he sends Joyce to you, and boy, that's, you know, then you're in big trouble. Amen. And he might even send Luke to you, you know. You know, he finds himself talking to all kinds of people, you know. And, I mean, this is not a religious environment, and he's not a religious guy. But, you know, somebody will say something stupid, and he'll just, are you kidding me? and just tell him, you know, well, you just, God loves you. Everything's going your way. Everything's going to be fine. You're doing well. Just trust God today. Amen. You should do that. You need to tell everybody that. You know, we get sad people and grumpy people. You know, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Again, because they're not filled with the Word of God. They don't know to let the Word of God, the Word of Christ, dwell in them richly. Amen. So that's your encouragement to do that. The kings of the earth, it goes all the way up to the kings of the earth. I mean, it's not just the local guy working at the hospital or working at on the electrical job or working down at Walmart. I hate to always pick on the Walmart people. You know, you just always do that. And Jeff's not here, so, you know. So I didn't want to pick on Walmart too bad. The kings of the earth set themselves. Okay, they're getting ready. They're getting ready for a battle. When it says you set yourself, you know, it's like if you think somebody's going to come knock you down, you kind of brace yourself. The kings of the earth brace themselves. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth... Now, I'll get to that in a minute. So let's break their cords and their bands. See, the lie is that God's got you in some kind of a prison, isn't it? Isn't that true? The lie is that the world thinks God's got them in some kind of a prison. God's got them in some kind of a paradise. Amen? He's already made every provision for every single person in the entire world to have everything that they need without taking it from somebody else. Amen. I've got everything I need. You've got everything you need. And if you don't see it, then thank God it's coming. And I'm just going to get back in the Word and just thank Him and thank Him and thank Him, Dave, until I'm happy. Not until I see it. Until I'm happy. I'm going to be just happy. Whether I see the thing or not, whether I see the next big breakthrough or not, I'm not going to worry about seeing it. I'm going to worry about getting joy. I'm going to worry about getting joy. That's my, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to get joy. You know, there's trouble all around that can make you decide to be miserable. Or you can just decide to listen to God's promise. Amen? And I know that's a tough one. That's a tough hurdle for the flesh. It's a tough hurdle for the flesh to overcome. Because the flesh is so used to doing like the kings of the earth. Brace yourself. It's coming. And it's going to be bad. And you're going to have to take care of this all by yourself. No. That's not what God's promise is. God's promise is that Jesus took it. Took all of your trouble, took all of your destruction, took all of your enemy. He said, the one that dug a pit, they're going to fall in it. And then you're going to help them out. Isn't that sweet of you? You're going to help them out. You're not going to cover them up with dirt. A lot of you think, you know, well, if my enemy fell in the hole, I'm going to cover him up, you know, when he falls in there. No, Jesus didn't cover the guy up when he fell in there. He pulled him out, didn't he? He's pulling him out. You're pulling people out because God is in you to minister His love. God's in you to minister His love, to will and to do of His good pleasure. Does He hate the wicked? Yeah, He hates the wicked of the wicked. But His desire is that the wicked will repent and come into the kingdom of God, be saved. I mean, look at you. You got in. I mean, God's mercy is wide. His mercy is long and deep because He's letting you in. All right. So they said, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's the wicked and the kings of the earth, because the enemy has them deceived. The enemy has them deceived. So what my heart is for you to hear today is that the enemy has the world deceived, and his desire is for them to be born again. His desire is for them to be saved, and you're the vessel. You are the ambassadors. I'm the ambassador. I am. Yeah, I heard you say that. Yeah. I'm the ambassador of good news. You're the one with good news that comes, and that's what you do every morning. Father, thank you that I'm just an ambassador of good news. And you remember when you got a new habit you decided you were going to do, whether it was eat less or brush your teeth twice a day or, you know, whatever it was, you know, quit putting on, you know, dirty clothes, wash your clothes, whatever you're going to do. You decided you're going to do that, and then you had to build that. You built that habit or built that progress. Now, the Holy Spirit will put it in you to do it, will put it in you to do that, and it's not a work that you do. Listen, these aren't works that you're going to do that please God and put a feather in your cap and put gold, silver, and precious stones in it. What these are things that say, you know what, that's a good idea. You know, if I'll sing instead of grumble, I think I'll be happier for the next few hours. You know, God's showing you how you work. God's showing you how things work. He's transforming you. He's changing you. Excuse me. He's changing you and turning you into a vessel fit for His use. It's hard to use a grumpy vessel, amen? You ever been ministered to by a grumpy vessel? It's not fun. In fact, you know, not much ministry going on. And people want to get out of your way. You know, but you want, and some people don't even like it when you're happy. You know that, right? Some people don't like it when you're happy. They just grumble at you, you know. They just, you know, come on, join the rest of the crowd. We're all angry about COVID-19, and we're angry about masks, and we're angry about everything. So let's just be angry together. Can you just be angry with me about that? Can you join with me about that? Say, well, I'm just trusting God. I'm under no burdens. God's taking care of my needs. I'm happy as I can be. Mask or no mask. If I didn't have, you know, well, don't you have liberty? Yeah, I've got plenty of liberty. I've got liberty in Jesus. It doesn't matter to me. Amen. We get worked up about these liberty things, which is true. I mean, you know, we have a constitution, and you should fight for that, you know, and you should elect the proper people that will fight for that. But personally, in your person, in your daily walk, rejoice. In your daily walk, don't let those things get all over you. You know, they will, just like lice, you know. Or they'll get all, things will just get all over you, and you want to say, no, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to receive that, oboe. I'm not going to receive it. It's not going to, that doesn't affect me. None of these things moves me, Paul said. He was reciting all of his problems. Remember, Paul was reciting, but he wasn't doing it to complain. What he was doing is, yeah, you think you guys have had trouble? Well, I've had this and this and this, and they bent over backwards to take. I had to be let down in a basket, and they stoned me outside the city. I got up and walked back in, and, you know. But none of these things moves me. But at the end of the day, I'm happy. I'm peaceful. I've got two granddaughters who appear not to be able to walk. That's okay. God's got that taken care of, amen? I believe they're going to get up and walk. But am I going to squirm about it today? No. I'm going to rejoice. Everything is good. Everything's going my way. Hallelujah. Even COVID-19. Well, do you think you have it? I doubt it. I don't believe I do. That's fine, you know. I know there's a lot of people had it. A lot of people died from it. A lot of people have been sick. Some people I've heard of in, you know, some... you know, two or three steps away that, you know, I know that have had that. You know, we hadn't seen any of it. I'm not saying it isn't there. But I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. I want to encourage you to come with me. Come with me. Don't worry. What if things aren't quite going the way you thought they were going to go? Well, go to bed. Get back up. Give praise. Thanks to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Why do the heathen rage? You know, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the love of God on the inside of you. Now, Verse 4, sounds like God's got an attitude. He says, "He that sits in the heavens shall laugh." Oh, silly gooses. "He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision." He is doubled over. You ever been doubled over in laughter? It's not that he doesn't love them, but it's just like they think they're going to do something. They think they're going to accomplish something in their raging. And that's the funny part, because they accomplish nothing. They accomplish nothing. Well, we're going to take the world back from God. No, you're not. You have no authority. You have no ability to do any of the sort. Amen? How many of you know the devil's not going to get the world? God's going to get the world. Amen? Come along with him. Hallelujah. This is so much fun. How can you say that? Well, because I trust God. I trust God. I trust him. I know you had a problem. I know you had something. He didn't. He's just preaching. He didn't know anything about it. Yeah, I've got some few things. I've had some few things. Amen. I know you've had some few things. You've had a lot of things. I can't fix that. But I know somebody who can. I know somebody who is already on the job. And he is loving you. And he is working in you. And he's saying, "Come to me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So, door's open. Come in. Come in. Come in, little heathen. Come in, little heathen. It's okay. You know Jesus loved the sinners. He said, "I didn't come for the righteous. I came for y'all. I came for sinners." Well, that's good news, because I am one. At least I was one. And I still have a little bit of difficulty, because I still got one of these. Until you get rid of this, until it falls off, you know, you probably will be having a sin here and there and everywhere. Here and there. You know, something will get your goat, and you'll strangle your goat and get upset. You know, it's okay. But then you just repent and say, "Father, thank you that you love me. I'm sorry that I made that foolish statement against that brother. I ask you to just forgive me and ask them to forgive me." Amen. Because you don't have to prove yourself to anybody. I don't have to prove myself to anybody, because God's already on the inside of me, proving me. Amen. So God, he sits in the heavens and laughs, and he shall have them in derision, their foolish ideas. "Then shall he speak to them in his wrath." Why has he got wrath? Because they didn't do what he said? No. Because they're missing it. They're missing the point. His wrath is, stop. He hates evil. He hates the devil. But he loves you. And he's saying, let go of that. Come to me. "And vex them, and he shall vex them with his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion," Jesus. "And I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." What's the focus of everything? Jesus. "Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." He's talking to Jesus. The Father's talking to Jesus. "And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Everything the world depended upon is going to be shaken. It's kind of like right now. Of course, I find that somebody depended on something, well, they decide they're going to make hay out of that. You know, well, we're going to have a big crisis. Oh, we got a big disease. Well, let's figure a way to manipulate that. Because people are smart. They want to figure out how to make money off this deal. There's only one thing in the world. Figuring out how you're going to make money off of this. How are you going to make money off of it? And God's not really all that mad about that. He just sees the end of it, his death and destruction, and you spend eternity without God. Even though you think you've got it made, everybody who's making all the money or making all the dough, and that's fine, you can make dough, it's okay. Just give it to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, everything I've got is yours. Thank you for using me, because you use people to give all kinds of gifts and all kinds of blessings. Amen. Because it's helpful. Money's helpful. If you're listening to Jesus, it'll destroy you if it's not. It will. I mean, you'll just be ruled by money. I mean, it'd be like being buried in a pile of money. You can't even breathe. You just suffocate. You got too much money. That's all you care about. It's all you do. It's all you worry about. Don't worry about money. I don't know why I said that. Father, thank you for ministering to these folks. Father, thank you that money is not a problem for anybody. Thank you for meeting the need, rather, that, Father, that you just that just brought up. Thank you for meeting the need, Father, whether it's a job or whether it's a debt payment, Father, I just thank you right now. Whoever that is, Father, I thank you right now. Just let them rejoice and just thank you for it. Just give praise to you right now. Father, thank you that you are the provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. You meet every need. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are there needs? Yes, there are. Trust God. Verse 10 of chapter 2 says, "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed. Be instructed. You judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Blessed are all they who put their trust in him. Happy are all those who put their trust in him. Blessed, happy, complete. Happy, blessed are all those, that's the command of God, the decree of God, is that happy are all those who put their trust in him. Now, every single day, so wake up, Father, I put my trust in you. Father, I thank you. And then you begin to wake up, daily confident. You begin to wake up daily confident. Some of you are taking a supplement or something, you know, take that one pill. You know, it's not for anything that's, you know, it's just you're taking that one omega-3 or whatever it is. You know, you take it. Or New Eden of Life or something. Some kind of thing. But you're taking it every day. You're taking it every day. And it's working on the inside of you. You're taking the Word of God every single day. I want to encourage you to wake up and just say, "God, you're so good. I love you. Everything is going my way." I don't know if I even say that anymore. I just get up and that's my first thought. Some of you, all you need is the first thought not to be, "Oh, God, another day of this." You need to be out of that. Amen? So a lot of folks are in that. You know, the minute you open your eyes, you're just depressed. Yeah. So what you do is you come alongside God's promise and you get you a promise box and you just... I don't put it by your bed. Maybe you don't even want your feet to hit the floor until you get the Word of God out. Get a Bible, get a devotional thing on your Bible. Something that's going to supplement you at the beginning of the day, and you begin to be encouraging yourself. David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. When everything was going against him, everything was going down. I know I'm just preaching to you. He said, "Well, how long is this going to go on?" Because the Lord is just encouraging you today to be filled with His Word, to be filled with His promise, to be filled with encouragement, to not let the daily grind and the heathen raging, you know, everybody, the heathen's raging on TV. He even rages on Fox News, CNN. He's raging everywhere. He's raging on the local news. You remember when you used to watch the local news, it wasn't too bad. Yeah, the local news used to be okay. Then they started getting all their stories from Washington, D.C. They started getting all their stories from somebody else, you know. So God is just with you. He's always with you. His desire is to finish the work that he started on the inside of you. Amen? And what he doesn't want you to do is get sidetracked. Get sidetracked by the affairs of this life. There are the affairs of this life that you can get sidetracked by, pulled apart, pulled aside. And the enemy is just desiring to do that. I want to tell you that the enemy doesn't have that authority. He doesn't have, the only person who's got that authority is you. I think I'll just go ahead and sit down right here and listen to this bad story. Listen to this bad news. No, the Lord wants to give you grace and beautiful. He wants to give you beauty for ashes today. Amen? Hallelujah. You want beauty for ashes. So why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Because they don't know the promise of God. They don't know the Word of God. They're trying to make it themselves. They're trying to make it happen all by themselves. They're going to want to make this world a grand place. There's some school of theology that says the dominion theology people, we're going to fix this place up and give it to Jesus. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It says the Bible says you're barely going to make it out. It says, and he that endureth to the end will be saved. Now, what I mean by that is that you're going to be trusting God. But the place is going to be falling apart. The place is going to be falling apart. It doesn't look good. It's not going to be looking good, but you know what? You're the salt. You're the light. You're going to be the one rejoicing. You're the one showing everybody the way. Follow me. Follow me. You know what Jesus said when to Peter and John and James and Andrew? He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You know, he doesn't say anything different to you. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You already got a job. Amen? You've got a job. You're a fisher of men. Look over at Psalm 57. That Psalm 2 is kind of a discourager, isn't it? No, it's not. It's good news. Okay, let's look over at Psalm 57. I find Psalm 57, you can put that in kind of in context with Psalm 91. Let's read it. I'm going to read it, and y'all listen. Y'all look along. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. You know what? That's not as much a cry or a plea as it is a recognition of the truth. Be merciful to me, because I trust in Thee. I know Your mercies. To me, they're new every morning. His mercy to me is new every morning. That means I wake up full of encouragement. I wake up full of peace. I wake up without stress. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank God. I just got moved off on something else here. Praise the Lord. All right. Keep going, Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. That's what the Lord works on the inside of you with His promises. Your soul begins to trust in Him. Your soul is no longer depressed. Your soul is no longer without hope. Your soul is, in fact, encouraged. David encouraged himself in the Lord. What part of him did he encourage? His soul. The inward part of the man that's informed by the promise of God. Your soul is informed by the promise of God, by the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. So when you begin to put the Word of God on the inside of you, it begins to change you. You know you are what you eat, like they told you when you were in school. You know you are what you eat. You know, as you begin to, I mean, if you're a bag of sugar, you become a bag of sugar. You know, and some of you that, you know, manifest in all kinds of different ways. Some of you get fat. Some of you just get sick. But the Word of God on the inside of you will transform you and change you. It'll make you healthy. It'll build up your muscles. Amen? It'll make you a new creation. You're already a new creation, but it's working its way on the inside out. It's like these chairs up here. Is that you start out in faith and you become discipled by the Lord, and He gets rid of all the, don't want to say junk, thank you. It's a better word than some people say. It gets all the junk out of you. Amen. And all of a sudden your body starts acting like Jesus. Amen. Your body starts acting like you love your neighbor instead of grumbling at your neighbor for making you feel bad because you were already in bad shape to begin with. Amen. All right. So he says, and at the end of that first verse in Psalm 57, it says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Whew. That sounds like Psalm 91. You can read that and then come back to Psalm 57, then you go back to Psalm 91. You know, you just need to let the Word of God wash over you. Jesus said you're clean because of the Word that I've spoken over you. Anybody feel clean? Forget your feel. Just be clean. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I will make my refuge. Okay. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, my shelter, until these calamities, whatever they may be overpassed. They're the ones right there in the forefront of your mind. I'm just making the Lord my refuge until everything, just all this is passed. You know, some preacher said, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. Amen. That's good. I think that's true. You know, all of these things, it's just going to go. You know, it's going to come to, it's going to pass. Something else will show up. But that's okay. Because the enemy never can figure out what he's doing. Verse 2, 57:2, Psalm 57:2, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. He's going to perform all things for me. So that has to do with outward and inward. Amen. You're not attempting to make God happy with you. He's already happy. He's already happy with you. He just wants you to kind of go sit over there while I get some work done. You know how the Bible says he rolls up his sleeves. Or maybe that was a song, but he's rolling up his sleeve. He's getting ready to do the work that no man can do. He that performeth all things for me. This type is getting smaller. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Oh man, this is tough stuff. This is a tough situation you may be in. Even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, it's just men, whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue is a sharp sword. Anybody know those people? God loves those people. He loves those people. Next verse. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. So here you are in the midst of the teeth of the lion. And what does David say? He says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Sounds like Stephen there getting stoned, doesn't it? Sounds like Stephen getting stoned. He said, Lord, put not this sin to their charge. So here they come. Here they come coming on you. They're coming at you. They're going to get you, Dave. They're taking everything from you. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Because your supply is not where you are. Your supply comes from the heaven. It comes from God. They have prepared, and you're going to report on, we're just going to report. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. So your soul can be bowed down. You ever notice that? You ever notice that your soul can be bowed down? But you have a distinction between your soul and your spirit. I want you to recognize a distinction between your soul and your spirit. James says, or Peter says, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. So your soul sometimes can be bowed over, and that's not a sin. That's just, you know, it just becomes difficult. I realize that. Happens to me. It becomes difficult in your soul. But recognize that your soul is not the end of your walk with God. Your soul is informed and changed from glory to glory by the indwelling Spirit of the living God, which comes into you by His Word and His promise. So they prepared a net. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit for me in the midst of which, they have fallen themselves. Do you have that expectation that your enemy is just going to fall in the pit? You know, we're just reporting on the fact that they dug a pit, but you know what? The Lord has already told me they're going to fall in it themselves. Then I can preach to them. Hey, do you need some help? Remember we talked about it. Can I help you out of this pit? You know, you don't leave them down there with the snakes. I mean, this is the New Testament, not the Old Testament. You know, Old Testament, they threw all the prophets and all their kids and all their animals into the pit. And you know, that's the part we like, right? It's kind of like the movie you like. Yeah, the bad guy gets it. No, Jesus doesn't want the bad guy to get it. Jesus wants the bad guy to get saved. Sad thing is, He wants you to do it. He wants you to reach down and help the guy out. Amen. It's always good. Because you're Jesus in this world, aren't you? Aren't you? Well, I don't know. That was a hearty amen, wasn't it? No, you are Jesus in this world. It's because He loves you and He put you out there to be a minister of good news and the gospel. Even to the atheist who hates God because he's afraid of God and afraid God's going to make him do something. You know, he's one of the heathens that rage, you know. He's going to rage because, you know, thinks God wants to take something away from him. No, just God wants to the opposite. God wants to give everything to him. I have everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now here's verse 7. Now here's the verse we were looking for. All of these things. Remember what Paul said? None of these things moves me. He says, David says this, my heart is fixed, O God. O God. He's talking to God. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So in the middle of your enemies, in the middle of right there where the pit is digged, right there, you stop right in front of the pit and you begin to sing. And you begin to thank God that nothing in this world moves you. No problems. Nothing in this world will move you. He said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake! Wake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. Okay, come on, band. Get the band going. I myself will awake early. So you don't want to wait until you're all depressed. You know, I've always made a practice. This will help you maybe. If I go or I have a little scratch, I just begin to pray in other tongues. And I begin to thank God that no, that's not coming on me. I don't receive it. It's not going, it doesn't belong to me. Sickness doesn't belong. It's a small maneuver. It's a small move. But you just begin to say out of your mouth, that doesn't belong to me. You know, you can do that in all kinds of issues, all kinds of things, whether it's a bad report on a job or a bad report on a financial thing or a bad report on a family member. It's just you begin to speak the truth. You begin to say, none of that comes nigh me. None of that comes nigh my family. In the name of Jesus. You know, and I've found that to be true, is that my heart, my body responds to the Word. My body responds to the promise. Well, I don't know. I usually take an aspirin, you know, or whatever. How many of you do what I do? You just say it. You just begin to say it. Word of your testimony. Amen. Yeah. And how many of you have had results? like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You've had results. I mean, your body responds to the promise. Your body responds to the Word of God. So he says, I will praise thee, O Lord. So I'll wake up, back up. Awake, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Somebody should write a song about that, right? But thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth. Amen. Amen. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in thee. You know, we looked at how the heathen were raging, but then we come over here to Psalm 57. You know, this is all David. This is his testimony. You know, the Psalms are his testimony. You got plenty of testimonies, don't you? How the enemy came in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord raised up a standard against him. God's doing mighty works. Amen? Are you excited? Are you happy as you can be? Ready to just throw off the burdens of this life? Today? Now? Take that one thing. What'd the Lord just show you that you were grumbling about? Here, just today. Amen. Say, Lord, I just cast that off on you right now. Thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that none of these things moves me. Hallelujah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Father, let me arise early with the psaltery and the harp, and let me sing, and let me share, and let me declare your goodness, so that when I get up and go out, I have a good report to somebody, to say to somebody. My face even declares that there's a good report in the world. And Father, we just rejoice in it, and we thank you for it. We cast that burden off right now in Jesus' name. Whether it's a financial burden, a physical burden. Father, I just come against all sickness and disease and destructiveness and poverty in every way in the name of Jesus. I thank you for jobs, Lord. I thank you for financial recovery in the name of Jesus. And so does the person who's somebody's going to agree with me. Amen. You're going to agree. Agree. I don't just like hide and watch, but agree. I agree, Lord, that you are my provision. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are you are El Shaddai. You are the one who's more than enough. Father, we just give you praise. And I thank you that my sins are forgiven. I thank you that I have no needs to make anything of myself in your presence, but I just come before you and bow down and let you just work in me that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Father, if it's difficult, if it's one that needs to be kind of ironed over and worked over two or three or four times, and that you're the one who's going to do it, and if I fall into that sin another time, Lord, I just teach me how to say, Lord, thank you that you're taking care of that. Father, thank you that it's not my job to finish the job of salvation, but it's yours. What you began, you're going to finish. Didn't say what you began, I would finish. I'm not going to finish it. I can't finish it. I have no capacity to finish it. But you'll finish it. And I won't be afraid that you won't. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness and your faithfulness today. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Jim, you're teaching tonight, right? Amen. Pastor Jim going to be teaching tonight. If you have an offering, you can put it in the box at the back. So let's all stand together. If you need prayer, I want you to come down and we'll pray. I'll pray with you. Ask if there's any of our deacons and elders, they can come down and pray with you as well. Just ask them to come down and let the Lord minister to you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Paul, you got something you can sing? What? You got something you can sing?
Yeah.
Good. Praise the Lord. We're going to join him. We're going to sing before we go. Amen?
Hallelujah.
It's always good if you'll sing. Get your mind out of yourself. Let's worship God together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We just love you. I just thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Holy One of Israel be your buckler and your shield and your trust. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory.